I've got a huge posse of young people in the studio with me from the National Youth Rights Association, and Robert Reynolds is here as the man in charge. And I'm going to start out. Basically, one of the things you folks are working on is a petition drive to lower the legal voting age to 16. Is that right?
That's correct, Paul.
Okay, and how's that petition drive coming along?
Well, we've collected over 700 signatures. They're all going towards our state senator, Don Parada, urging him to reintroduce the bill to lower the voting age in California, and which was introduced last year by Senator John Vasconcelos. And the National Youth Rights Association is a Washington, D.C.-based organization dedicated to the promotion of youth rights all around, eliminating ageist laws and regulations like Walgreens up the street from Berkeley High, which has a sign on its door that says no more than two students allowed in the store at one time, which we find pretty ageist and discriminatory or whatever.
Well, this is a college town, and I mean, there's a lot of students of all ages,
right,
in this town.
And I asked the manager about it, and he told me that it was directed towards Berkeley High students in particular, which I've heard a statistic that said that 30% of all shoplifters are kids, but that would mean 70% of them are adults, yet adults aren't banned from entering stores.
Right.
So.
And also, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Exactly.
So, you can't believe everything you read.
Right.
Especially if it's in a San Francisco Chronicle paper. So, you're dealing with age discrimination. You're working on this petition to lower the voting age. What other stuff is going on with your association?
Well, we're also raising money. We're trying to win the chapter competition because we're the Berkeley chapter of NYRA, NYRA. And there's a bunch of different chapters in NYRA all around the country, and we're hopefully going to win the fundraising competition, raising the most money. And I got with me here most of the NYRA Berkeley chapter members. And
could we go around and have everybody introduce themselves?
Yeah, so here I'm going to start off with Rio Bouch. And so just introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Rio Bouch. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a freshman at Berkeley High.
Okay.
Alternate officer of NYRA, Berkeley.
Alternate officer, what does that mean?
That means that I assume responsibilities of executive officers who are not there present at our meetings.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'm Elliot Aglione. I'm 16 years old, and I'm a sophomore at Berkeley High School.
Okay, and what's your function in the association?
Just a plain old member.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Christopher Howell. I'm a sophomore. I'm 16 years old, and I'm the chairman of NYRA Berkeley.
And what do you do as chairman?
Just to head all the meetings. The executive committee meetings, as well as the regular Progressive Club NYRA Berkeley meetings.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Zach Hobesch. I'm the public relations officer of NYRA Berkeley. And basically my duties as the public relations officer of NYRA Berkeley are to contact the media and write websites. And so the URL of the website is, and if you have a piece of paper right in front of you, that'd be really great. www.berkeley.youthrights.org. And the website of the National Youth Rights Association, which I did not write, is youthrights.org. Once again, that's berkeley.youthrights.org. Thank you.
My name is Joya DeVita. I'm 15 years old. I'm a sophomore at Berkeley High, and I'm the secretary. I take notes.
My name is Pamela Tatz. I'm 16 years old, and I'm the vice president of NYRA Berkeley.
And what do you do as vice president?
In case Robert dies or he doesn't show up to the meetings, I take over role as president, which means I get to boss everybody around. It also means that if Robert were to resign or Robert were to not be president, I would be the next president until the next elections.
My name is Ann Sheridan, and I'm 29 years old and have been involved in youth rights for a long time. and I'm very interested in education reform, and kind of that's my focus.
So you're probably considered one of the oldsters in the group, huh?
I guess you could say that, yeah. I got my 30th birthday next week, so it's...
Oh,
I'm going to be old.
Wow, 30. Okay, and what do you do with the organization?
I don't have any officer roles. I'm just a member.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm going to organize a benefit show. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay. And how often do you all meet?
Well, the NIRA Berkeley membership tries to meet every week. We're known as the Berkeley High Progressive Club, just at Berkeley High, though, and obviously our older members, Anne, can't meet us during school hours because she has work, so she meets whenever she can, but we basically have meetings once a week on Thursdays.
Okay, and what sort of stuff do you talk about in your meetings?
We talk about upcoming events, what we're planning. We talk about getting more signatures and fundraising events and how we're going to win this competition against all the other NIRA chapters and how NIRA Berkeley is really cool. And we congratulate Zach for his wonderful website work. What's the website again, Zach?
That's berkeley.youthrights.org. Thank you.
Good job, Zach.
And you actually wrote the HTML code and all that stuff?
The HTML code and the CSS style sheets.
Okay.
And how old are you again?
I'm 15 years old.
And you know how to do this?
Yes.
And you think you should have the right to vote?
Thanks, Rob. Yeah. I do think I should have the right to vote. And that will be outlined in the next hour.
Now, one of the things I have to wonder about is I've been voting for a long time, and one of the bumper stickers I see around town that said if voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal. And there was this crisis of confidence after the last election because we realized, hey, we've been hosed. And it was like you look to states like Ohio and Florida, and it's people were totally disenfranchised. And I strongly suspect that the guy who's sitting in the White House right now really doesn't belong there. So I'm just wondering what your take is on the possible concept of voting as utterly futile.
You know, that's really interesting because there was a lady that came up to our table and she said pretty much the same thing. She said that, you know, why would kids get out there and vote if nothing's really going to change? But as of all causes, ours is based a lot on an optimistic side because we feel that any difference we make can have some kind of impact, and that's the impact we're looking for, and we're hoping that through that event we can change things, even if it's only a small step, and that having a sort of a futile outlook on it isn't really going to help anything.
Okay, so maybe when you're older you'll be a little more jaded about things, right?
No, I hope I can stay. I'll stay as I think it's good for people to have an honest and realistic look at how things are, but always keep an open mind for the future.
Okay.
Also, I mean, even if voting didn't matter, I mean, I think the right to vote is what matters. I think like if women were never granted the right to vote, they probably would still be looked at as inferior. That was just the first step to like women's rights and the realization that women aren't inferior to men. So it's kind of like the first step.
Okay. Fair enough. And what about the idea of people that are even younger than 16 getting the right to vote? Because, you know, we've got, you know, some 14 and 15 year olds here, and maybe they'd like to vote too. So, I mean, I have to wonder how the decision was made to try and get the voting age lowered to 16, and, you know, what sort of dynamic there was in the group when y'all discussed this originally.
Well, I think that 16 has a lot of things going for it, and also, you want to take it one step at a time. John Vasconcelos introduced a bill last year that would have allowed 16-year-olds one half of a vote, 14 and 15-year-olds a quarter of a vote. And that bill was also a step in the right direction. But what we're saying now is we want State Senator Don Parada to introduce a bill that would give 16-year-olds a full vote, 14 and 15-year-olds, well, it's, you know, we have to take it one step at a time, and we can't go there right now. Also, 16-year-olds can be tried as adults, and they can drive. So 16 is a better age than, I think, anything lower right now.
Yeah, originally, back when the bill was first introduced, we tried to do that with the quarter votes, like, and it wasn't very widely accepted, and so 16 is more acceptable in the society right now. And actually, if we're doing a campaign right now to get people to call up State Senator Don Parada, and if the listeners have a piece of paper and pencil handy, the number for State Senator Don Parada is 916-445-6577. And you can call him up and tell him what you think of that bill and tell him to reintroduce it.
Okay, and what's that number one more time?
It's 916-445-6577.
And that's the office of Don Parada?
Yes.
Okay.
And also just to piggyback on Zach here, the reason that 16 is a choice is that it is not necessarily that that NYRA has a strong stance that only 16-year-olds should be able to vote, but that doing so would enfranchise a million California voters, and it would be in a step in the right direction, and NYRA will always continue to fight for youth rights even after the voting age is lowered.
Okay. And Robert was talking about the competition with the other associations, and I was wondering how many branches are there of this NYRA organization, and where are they located and stuff?
Well, there are chapters. There's a chapter in Cleveland, Ohio. There's a chapter in New York City. There's a chapter in Rochester, New York. There's a chapter forming in New Jersey. There's a chapter in Vermont and Washington, D.C., Santa Fe, and Berkeley's kicking ass right now. But there's plenty more chapters. I just can't name them off right now.
Okay, so...
And you can find them all on the website, youthrights.org. All
right. So if there's some kids out there who decided they wanted to get their own chapter going, it's not too hard, is it?
No, it's not hard at all. I started it in a matter of days. How we got started was last year, Zach, Elliot, and myself were concerned with lowering the voting age, and so we staged a protest outside of a polling station on Super Tuesday of the primary election, which was March 2nd, 2004. And it was in the morning, and we went inside to ask for a ballot, and also Anne was present there. She was our distinguished 28-year-old at the time, and also we had a couple college students and a couple old people, and and a couple more kids. But
did you have some media attention at this
yes,
thing?
Yes, we got in the Daily Cal and also in the Oakland Tribune. I ended up speaking at a committee hearing in Sacramento, and we were mentioned in the San Francisco Chronicle, the Boston Globe, and the Oakland Tribune, as well as San Jose Mercury News.
Okay, and so that was like your first action?
That was our first action. We started planning it about a week in advance, and NYRA Berkeley was formed in that week.
Okay.
Also, any of you like knowing if you got our flyer, the front photo on the front of the flyer is of that protest. That was the photo that appeared on the front page of the Daily Cal. And from left to right, that's Zach Hobesh, Robert Reynolds, and Elliot Aglione. On the far left, with the sign that says lower the voting age, I believe that's Alex Sicular. Uncertain of who that is, though. And I think that the protest on Super Tuesday really set off everything. We're on NBC, too.
Channel 7, too.
Excellent.
Oh, and Rob was also named Teen of the Month by a Japanese newspaper with over 11 million readers. So go, Rob.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I eventually ran for board of directors of the National Youth Rights Association. I won, and I was elected vice president. And so I currently hold that position, and I'll be running for re-election this year. NYRA currently has over 5,000 members nationwide, and it's been around for about 8 years. And also, we've done other stuff, like gone to Sacramento to protest. And let's hear Elliot talk about that.
All right. Oh, he's shy.
Well, I believe this was in October. We went on to Sacramento. We gathered the Berkeley chapter of NYRA, and we went up to Sacramento to meet with a state senator. Unfortunately, he was not present. But we staged a protest there in front of the Capitol building, and we got a little bit of attention. We had our signs up and handed out flyers and sold buttons.
And we waved signs to passing cars, and we got a lot of honks of support. That was fun. So, and also, I don't know, let's hear from our vice president, Pamela Tatz.
Okay.
Well, Pam, why do you think 16-year-olds should have the right to vote?
Well, the thing is, politicians right now, they don't really have a reason to listen to us. We can't vote them back into office. It's the way politics work. And if they're sympathetic to our cause, they'll help us. But, they don't have a reason to. But, if senior citizens were denied the right to vote, for example, the first programs to go would be like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, etc. And the only people who would fight for the rights would be those that were sympathetic to them. So without youth representation, our voices won't be heard. And that's basically, why we're fighting for youth rights.
And a lot of the policies that are being voted on right now directly affect us youth. I'm not really a youth anymore. I'm 18 now, so I can vote. But I turn 18 1 month after the 2004 presidential election, which means I can be sent off to war and I can be drafted without having had a voice in the last election. And so I think that's extremely unfair also.
That is something I was just thinking about and wanted to ask you about, is the very real possibility that some of you folks might be called up to serve in the military and get sent off to some place like Iraq or Iran or North Korea. And what do you think about being forced to serve in the military?
Well, if you're talking about the draft, I think the draft, supposing there was a draft in the next couple of years, it would affect all of us, including the freshmen. Supposing that our president right now reinstated the draft, it would affect from freshmen all the way to seniors in high school who do not vote in this last election, which elected the man who would send us to war tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that's extremely unfair.
Okay, so what could we hope to see from the NYRA Association if the draft is reinstated?
Well, I'll be dead, so I won't know. So you want to talk to Anne about that?
Well, I think...
You're too old for the draft.
I'm too old for the draft. What's the upper age of the draft?
18 to 25 nails.
18 to 34.
Really? So we all have to worry about the draft, it sounds like.
Well, I don't.
All right. But no, if you're a person who believes in a truly democratic society and that we have to run this country democratically, then you should be against the draft. It's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Can't force people to do things. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we've got a mad frenzy for people grabbing for the mic here, so go ahead.
One thing I'd like to say about the draft is part of the reason that the U.S. Army does enjoy successes is that it is an all-volunteer army. It's not very good to send people that do not want to fight in a war over to fight in a war, and we feel that if if people should be fighting an award, that they should, they should want to sign up for it.
Okay.
Well, you say all volunteer army, but it's not quite all volunteer anymore, because they are keeping people there that want to leave, but they are not allowed to leave anymore.
There's also the problem of what they call economic conscription, or that is basically young people have no chance for advancement in life, or a decent paying job or education. Their options are limited, and then they think, I'll go down to the recruiter's office and see what he's got to say, and next thing you know, they're trucked off to Fort Benning or something. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, some colleges have been forced to let military recruiters on their campus in threats that their funding will get cut. And last month I heard that military recruitment is down 27%. So they may turn to something else to get people to enlist.
Yeah. Manufacturing robots and putting them in uniforms or something. I don't know.
As far as the draft goes, it's something that we do not like. But now we'd like to go back to more stuff about the voting age and youth rights. I'd like to hear from Zach here. Tell us about your history class and what you have to do.
I have a world history class at Berkeley High School, sixth period. At the beginning of the semester, our teacher looked at his roster and he said, well, it's a good thing that there's some people who are sick today, because we had 44 kids on the roster, I believe. Don't quote me on that one, but there were over 40 kids on the roster, and we had around 33 desks, possibly. There is no way enough kids would fit in that class. There were either kids who did not want to go to class and kids who were sick, but some kids have to hurry to get to class, to get to that class in time so they can get a desk. And why would politicians want to fund public schools? That's the real reason of this thing.
Yeah, and one time I showed up to my government class 3 minutes early, and I had to sit on the floor because there were too many kids and not enough desks. And this is not fair. And adults can't say that education is being funded enough, because they're not seeing it firsthand. We are.
Well, that's pretty bad if they can't even give you a desk and a chair in the classroom.
Actually, currently at Berkeley High School, there is a teacher strike, a partial strike. Work to rule.
It's called Work to Rule. Basically, they're demanding a pay raise because, Elliot will tell you all about that.
Well, they haven't had a contract for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
What they're doing now is they're following their contract from 2 years previous exclusively. They're not working after school, during lunch. They're only grading papers during their prep period. They have one free period and a six period day. And so we're not getting tests back. We're not getting essays back. And it's because of lack of funds. And well, it's also because of the school board. But yeah.
Lack of funds
all around. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, who's got something to say about Governor Schwarzenegger?
Oh, the governor?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know how Berkeley feels. I mean...
We love Arnold.
We do love Arnold. I mean, I want him to get back on Terminator 4, you know? I just got to finish the series, you know? But, I mean, I can't wait for him to stop being governor so he can finish the series. I mean, before he turns 70, at least. I don't want a Terminator on a crutch or anything. But like, the governor...
Now that's funny.
He's cutting education more. I mean, he doesn't care about, like, the youth vote, because, I mean, we can't vote for or against him.
There is
no youth vote, because we can't vote for or against him, because we don't have the right to vote. And so he can cut education all he wants, and no one will care. And, Elliot, if you want to take it further?
I just wanted to say that... people are supposed to vote in, or parents are supposed to vote in their children's interest, yet parents did not pass a measure that would increase tax so that to fund public schools. So this, it's not happening, you know, our ideal wishes. It's not a reality.
On a more personal note, there was a, on right before the election, I was sitting in the car with my dad, and I was talking to him about what was on the ballot. And it came up that there were a few measures for Berkeley schools, but my dad is also a property owner, and doing so would involve raising property taxes. So this is one very, very clear instance where something that is in my dad's interest and in my interest, there's a big conflict, because if people own a lot of property and they don't want to pay taxes, then they're not going to want to pay taxes. But I would rather pay taxes and go to a better school, but that's how the system is based on.
Also, I mean, even if parents have the intention of voting in their kids' best interest and in not in their interest, the fact is they may not fully understand all that's going on. I mean, we were directly affected. Like, Zach had to sit on the floor, Robert had to sit on the floor, there's not enough desks, classes are overcrowded, and parents, like, a lot of times they don't realize that, and we're directly affected by those things.
Yeah, and voters voted on Proposition 98 a couple years ago. I was supposed to provide more funding for our schools, and Governor Schwarzenegger has decided, because of our budget shortfalls, that he's not going to fully fund our schools, and in doing so, he's violating the word of the people by not giving us our money that we need to run our schools.
Okay, so, all right, so a few comments there on Arnold. I think you're really right in noting that, first of all, there is no youth vote, so they really don't have to worry about ticking off the young people. And the taxation issue is a crucial one here in Berkeley, because folks are really getting hammered pretty bad on their taxes. And we see situations like our public library, and we will pass special initiatives that will allocate, you know, huge amounts of money for the library. And then what do? They blow it all on some RFID identification tags for the books. And they close the library on Sundays. You can't go in there on Sunday.
Yeah.
So what's up? I mean, a lot of times it seems like our government agencies are getting enough money, but they're not spending it in the way the people would really like them to spend it.
Yeah, and there was a measure on the ballot, Measure L in Berkeley, that didn't pass. There was Measure K that didn't pass, K for kids. And back to what Elliot was saying about measures that would have benefited kids that didn't pass. And also, concerning taxes, a lot of people would say that kids don't pay taxes, so why should they be able to vote on how taxes are spent? Well, in America, teens spend an average an estimated $9.7 billion per year on sales taxes alone, not to mention million more is on income tax for those of them who have jobs. And also, a lot of people would say that kids don't have property, therefore don't pay property taxes. Well, my dad rents right now, and he doesn't pay property taxes. So, I mean, I don't think that's a very valid argument in, like, opposing the youth franchise. And just, do you have anything to say?
Well, you basically just stole my comment about the $9.7 billion, sorry, in sales taxes alone. Yeah, that's basically what I was going to say.
I also have a personal story. Me and Elliot attended a private school from at least kindergarten all the way through eighth grade. And then when we got to Berkeley High, and that was the same year that the recall was going on. And so we're sitting there, and suddenly we realized, we're like, wow, it actually does affect us now. Because we're in a public school now. Our textbooks are bought with tax dollars, I guess. And, I mean, we're not in a private school. Our parents aren't paying for it anymore. And we finally realized it actually does affect us. And that, you know, I mean, someone has to do something about that. Because, yeah.
Yeah, and also concerning back to the work to rule that our teachers are doing at Berkeley High right now, they do deserve a pay raise, because When I'm in class, I don't want my teachers focusing on how they're going to pay their next rent, pay the rent, or how they're going to pay their bills. I want them focusing on teaching me so I can get the best education I can. And I want enough funding in schools so that I don't have to, so I can focus on what the teacher is saying rather than focusing on the desk, which is missing half of one of its legs, unless I prop it up with my 1990 Spanish book. I want some newer books, and I want some more desks. I mean, these are the things that the youth are looking at right now, and yet their voices aren't being heard. These are things that concern us youth that are not being recognized in the political process. Do you have anything to add, Rio?
Yeah. Measure B that was passed in the last election was supposed to also reduce our class sizes, supposedly, but many of my classes are overcrowded, and there are vaguely enough desks to go around for kids, and if that money is supposed to be spent towards that sort of things, and even teachers now are not able to hand back our work in time, and even on our progress reports, some teachers I know are giving either pass or fail and not A, B, C, D, or F, so you can't really tell what you're getting, if you're getting like a almost failing, or if you're getting a failing or what. So.
Wait, in Rio, how old are you?
14.
And you have an opinion?
Yes.
How is that?
Well, a lot of people would argue that there are too many stupid 16-year-olds and that we don't deserve the right to vote. But, I mean, while that's true, there are also some incredibly intelligent 16-year-olds and some really stupid 45-year-olds. And, I mean, that standard's not applied to all citizens, so why should it apply to youth? And the fact is, we don't lack the ability to make informed, intelligent decisions. It has nothing to do with age. I think it varies from person to person, and making generalizations like that, really, it's unfair to its, its worthy members. And there are always exceptions.
If you were to give someone the vote based on their like experience, or based on their their life experience, or their intellect, or their intelligence, you would give them a test before giving them the right to vote, which was deemed unconstitutional. Against the Civil Rights Act. And so you can't do that. And so why should you hold that against us? Why should you hold the fact that maybe we have less life experience than you?
Also, there are many, many people who are, about to die because they're like 80, and they've never been outside their hometown, and they can vote. Never mind that they're 80, they've never been outside their hometown, and they're completely senile.
Joy!
Sorry.
Uh-oh.
But it's ageism. True. There are a lot of people who the adults who are against this movement to lower the voting age, in their own opinion, a lot of adults who are not qualified to vote, and when they talk about kids who are not qualified to vote because of their lack of experience or whatever.
And the 16-year-olds who will vote will be the ones that are interested in voting, and so it will weed out all the ones who don't care or aren't informed, or unlike the other rest of the American public, which some people are forced to vote or tell other people to vote, or yeah. And hold on, here's Anne.
And the tradition in this country is for expanding the vote. I mean, we've run into a lot of people who want to actually submit a test for voting and have less people be able to vote. But the tendency in this country is to increase the vote. It started with just white males, property, and we're always in the, as a democratic country, we claim to be, we're always interested in expanding the vote, not decreasing it. So I think this is the next step. This is, youth is like the only people that can't vote now. So
if 16 and 17-year-olds were to get the vote in California, a million new voters would be enfranchised. So that would, yeah.
So thanks, Rob. Anyway, so we, last school year, we did a few, I guess, documentaries on the voting age. Me and Rob went out with a camera, and we interviewed some pretty radical lefties, so you might be listening right now. And So if I just lost a few listeners there, I'm sorry. And so what we did is we took a camera out there and we interviewed people about who the Secretary of State was. And I swear, a lot of people could not answer. And they vote. Someone voted for that guy, right? Yeah. So I think that basis on the people who are voting is just not good.
What was the average score of those people? I mean, we asked them 10 questions. I think
the average score was like 3 or 2.
I don't know. The most anyone got right was 4 questions, I think. I mean, these are registered California voters, and they didn't know who their own California Secretary of State was. And they could vote for him and everything, and then they tell us that we don't know who our local mayor is. And let me ask Rio. Rio, you're a 14, right? How old are you? And do you know the Berkeley mayor?
Yes, Tom Bates.
That's simply amazing. Do I have something to say?
No, I was going to ask you who our California Secretary of State is, Rob.
Oh, I have no idea. But I'm 18. Kevin Shelley just resigned recently because he was a crook or something, but, aren't they all, but this new guy, I think Mick something, but I'm 18, and I can vote, so that's basically what I have to say right now. Let's give it to Anne.
Well, ask me a question.
So how are you, Anne? And what do you think? Do you think 16-year-olds are mature enough, to make a decision on the ballot? There are policies that affect everyone, as we've gone over. And do you think that 16-year-olds are mature enough to make that kind of decision?
Well, yes. I think that... Yes, I think 16-year-olds are mature enough to make that decision. But I think the main point for me is not whether people are mature enough or whether people are intelligent enough or whether people, are going to vote the way you think they should vote. But the issue is, can people really say, well, I think there are people in this country who should not vote? Can you actually say that about a group of people? Can you actually say, well, you pay taxes, this country is founded on the slogan of no taxation without representation. And here, we fought a war over it. And here we are in this exact situation where we have people paying taxes and not voting.
Exactly. And Pam, do you have something to add to that?
Yeah, I have an elaboration. It has to do with what you were saying. A lot of people say that 16 and 17-year-olds should not be eligible to vote because they would be influenced by the way their parents vote. That's actually probably true. Most people are influenced by the way, by the people closest to them. That's the way it works. Adult voters also are influenced by the way their parents voted. But in the privacy of the voting booth, your vote is your own. And you can't use that against the youth. It's they were saying that about women, that they would vote, and why should I have the right to vote if their husbands are going to vote in their interest? But, that's obviously isn't true because that isn't politically accepted right now. So how does that not apply to us?
And also what I've noticed is when I talk to a lot of people, I think, and when they're against lowering the voting age, I sort of imagine back in the early 1900s when women were fighting for the right to vote, a lot of people back then who were against giving women the right to vote would probably have similar attitudes to the people who are against lowering the voting age now. I mean, I just see the same people over and over again, same type of people over and over again, against giving minorities the right to vote, against giving women the right to vote, and now the same type of people are against giving youth the right to vote. I mean, it's a democracy. Everyone should have a say.
And another common criticism that goes back to youth voting is many people say that 18-year-olds and the youth now that can vote, which is not what we consider the youth, but the young adults, I guess you could say, they said they didn't come through in the Bush election and that not enough of them voted. But the truth is only 45% of eligible voters vote. And it's an unfair...
That was in 2000.
In 2004, it was much higher. But it's not. It's still not. It's not a whole lot of people that are voting, and it's not a fair standard to apply it to only a certain group of people and saying that you're relying on them to vote a certain way. It's all up to you. We think that adults should, before they are quick to judge, they should look at themselves and see if their fellow adults voted the way that they think they should have.
And also, I think if youth were given the right to vote, I think they would be more motivated to actually, you know, inform themselves and get involved in what's going on. I think, you know, really, they have no motivation to inform themselves because they have no idea, you know, because they have no say in what's going on right now. Right. I mean, yeah, that's it.
Well, how many ways are there to vote? When my dad went into the ballot or went into the ballot posting thing on November 2004, he had two candidates basically before him. There was John Kerry and George Bush. That's Democrat and Republican. If you're going to vote the way your parents, you're probably going to vote the same way your parents do. Do you vote the same way your parents do?
No.
Your parents
said. No, I'm libertarian.
I'm 18. I vote the way my dad votes.
Oh, I mean, who did you? I can't. Can I ask you that? Who did you vote for in November?
The Libertarian candidate. His name was Michael Badnarik.
Okay. Well, there are a little more choices, but realistically, who is going to win in November? Who is going to win?
There's a protest vote. I know he didn't have a chance.
There's going to be a Democrat or a Republican. So.
Well, I don't subscribe to the two-party system.
Well, unfortunately, that's how it is right now. And I mean, hopefully. It's going to change soon, but that's not the issue we're dealing with. We're dealing with the issue of youth voting, and we think that the youth are not necessarily going to vote the way their parents do. They probably are, just because not because they are coerced to do so, but because of shared values. I mean, they live in a similar economic household, and they live in the same area, so a lot of the same things would affect them similarly, but I mean, they're not necessarily going to vote the same way on everything. And back to what Zach was saying about the choices on the ballot, I mean, really, how can you vote wrongly? I mean, youth can't vote any wrongly than adults have. Democrats may think voters voted wrongly in 1988 when they elected Bush as president of the United States, and Republicans may think voters voted wrongly when they voted for Clinton in 1992. Too. But whose word do we take here? Who's right?
Well, I think an important thing to say is that democracy is founded on the basis that you are given the right to vote, and if a certain people do not have that right, that's not really democracy.
Well, right now, our system of government isn't really democracy either, but he's got a point.
Another, like, back to reasons people say that youth shouldn't vote. Another reason is people think that youth will vote selfishly and heedlessly because of the stereotype that teenagers are, like, selfish and, you know, like, bratty. And, you know, you can't hold that to us, but that's not the point right now. What I'm saying is no matter which way youth vote, they'll have plenty of company among, like, other voters. I mean, we're not going to be the only ones to vote for certain measures. And the entire point is voting for your own interests. That's the way that the supposed democracy works. You're voting for your interests, and you're voting for what works and what you think will work for our country.
Well, anyone here, if kids had the right to vote, wouldn't you all just, you know, vote for popular rock stars and movie stars?
Yeah, we were not given the right to vote before Schwarzenegger was elected. I rest my case.
And what about Ronald Reagan? He was a Hollywood actor. I mean,
I wasn't born.
And those were adults, right?
Yeah, those were adults.
Okay, Rio, do you want to elaborate?
Well, just because we're younger doesn't mean we don't have opinions. We all have our own opinions, and who's to say that we shouldn't be franchised to and stuff. I mean, adults are. Some people say that kids will just vote just like their parents do, but I mean, adults vote how people around them do as well. So who's to say that that's, yeah. Here's Chris.
We're gonna. Gabe wants to say something, so we're gonna let Gabe talk.
The right to vote, the act of voting is a lot more than just using a ballot box. And the president of the United States right now is trying to infringe on the youth of this country by taking away social programs that help them live lives that are freer, and just trying to take away a upper bound program, which has helped people for years to be able to actually get into college and be able to get away from abusive situations in their homes. And it's just one facet of youth culture that he's trying to destroy because he's scared. He thinks that it's a threat. And the reason he thinks that it's a threat is because the same people that run that program are the people that could very well put him under. And he knows that because they've done it to people exactly like him before.
Okay, well said. Does anybody see a connection between the free speech movement of the 60s and what you folks are doing now?
Not being well-versed in the free speech movement of the 60s, I also wasn't born then. But I think that there's, definitely the 60s was a time when youth were very active in this country politically on a variety of issues, mainly opposing the Vietnam War, but also doing a lot of anti-racism work doing, I actually just went to get anecdotal here. I went to a thing at the Berkeley Library last week on the Black Panther Party, and I was amazed that the people who were, running started the free breakfast program and was running the Black Panther Party were actually people in their teens, and it is just amazing to find that out. So my hope is that we'll see a resurgence of youth getting really involved. Getting involved in things that are, the Black Panthers are all, they started the free breakfast program, which is in every, I don't think there's a school in the country that doesn't provide free breakfast, and that's one of the amazing feats. And that was started by teenagers, so.
Yeah, and the free breakfast isn't really good, so next time you go to the ballot box, vote out all those politicians who don't give us a good breakfast, because it's mostly like cardboard and stuff. It's really nasty. And Zach, you want to talk about the website again? What is the URL?
The URL to the website, once again, is http://www.berkeley.youthrights.org. And http.
What's on it? Berkeley.youthrights.org. Here's Chris.
Something to add about youth not having the right to vote and not being able to vote is that it's something that it does to people. When you do not have that right, it makes people lazy, it makes people want to be ignorant, it makes people want to be stupid, because if you're taking away someone's right and they don't feel that they have the right, then we believe that above all else, that is what produces apathy.
Oh, and Rio has something to say.
I just want to give everybody the number again to call up Senator Don Parada to get him to reintroduce the bill to lower the voting age. That number is 916-445-6577. And just call him up and tell him that you'd like him to reintroduce the bill to lower the voting age.
Also email him, senator.parada@sen.ca.gov. Thank you. senator.parada@sen.ca.gov. Email him. Flood his email box. Also flood his mailbox. That's State Capitol, Room 205, Sacramento, California, 95814. 95814. Room 205. And just flood his mailbox. That's what we're doing right now. We've gotten over 700 letters sent. Hopefully he'll respond. And if he doesn't, then that just proves that he doesn't care about the youth vote. But hopefully he does. Here's Pam.
No. She was just asking, is it ending? Well, at around 10 o'clock, we're going to hand it over to Tomorrow's Children. But while we still got the live mic and everybody here, now if there's some young people out there that are interested in your association and want to get involved, how can they, I mean, outside of the website, I mean, not everybody's got the computer terminal in front of them. For the digitally deprived or folks who just like to walk in, how can they get involved?
Well, the first thing and most basic thing anyone could do is contact legislators, urge them to introduce bills to lower the voting age, and urge them to introduce bills to eliminate age discrimination laws, and also to drop me an email. Just you can get that on the website, berkeley.youthrights.org, or my email address is robren@gmail.com, robren@gmail.com.
And do folks have a phone number people can call?
Yeah, my phone number is area code 510-548-3322. So just call that, and then my dad will answer. Ask for Robert. That's me. Sometimes when people call, they kick us off the internet. So if you get a feeling that we're on the internet, don't call. But if you don't get that feeling, just call and leave a message or talk to me. I'm Robert again, Robert Reynolds, Vice President of NYRA. And my number again is 510-548-3322. And I'm the President of NYRA Berkeley. And here's Anne.
Well, I just also want to mention is that we've been doing a stall at the farmers market every Saturday in Berkeley. So if you're around then, you can drop by and meet us. We're great.
Okay, and for Berkeley High students, you folks meet every Thursday?
Every Thursday in Berkeley High, room H208, at lunch.
Okay.
And also, if you're really rich and you want to donate, just get to our website and email us and give me a call. So here's Zach.
Also, speaking on the website, I mean, the website is full of useful information about the voting age. If you are unsure about our issue, you can also visit the website, read some articles written by Robert Reynolds and other articles of interest. And how to contact us, also on the website. Thank you.
What's the website URL again?
No, we heard it.
Yeah, okay. And another thing is, for all of you guys who watch The West Wing, the issue of youth voting was brought up. And actually, a lot of the arguments that the character used were directly quoted from our NYRA president off the website. So yeah, that was really exciting.
And I know Pam has some final words about the voting age, and if we can use our last 5 minutes to quickly outline our other issues after Pam describes her last statements.
Okay, it sounds like I'm going to die. the thing is, our generation, on the more serious note, we're going to be around for a long time. Like, we're going to be around, like, after, you know, we're still going to be here after our parents' generation is going to be, like, gone. And, you know, it's something we don't really want to, you know, think about. But the thing is, we're going to be here. We're going to be breathing the air. We're going to be, you know, like, living in this environment, and we have no say in what's going on. And we have no say, you know, like, if there's going to be a nuclear war, or if things are, you know, if people are going to start, like, bombing other countries, and if people are going to go invading other countries, and if things are going to happen to our country, and we do not have a say right now, who's to say it won't affect us? And it will affect us. We'll be adults then, but there'll be so much to correct. And can we correct it? That's the problem. And so if we have the vote right now, maybe we can help stop it.
Also, a lot of people say, you know, youth are the future, and that's true, but we're also living citizens right now, and things do directly affect us. And so the fact that we're the future isn't the only reason why we should vote. It also because we're directly affected by the government every day.